Talk about the vision that you had personally and that the Bush administration had for the Homeland Security Department when you first started to formulate what you were going to go to Congress with.
Well, you know, I think your question is very relevant because history records when I first got asked to go into the White House, there was no intent or design or plan at that time to create a department. There had been multiple studies for the previous one or two decades that in the 21st century, the interconnectedness of the world, that we build some kind of border-centric agency. While in the White House, we built a grand strategy, and as we took a look at all the dimensions to securing America, one of the conclusions we reached, one of the most effective ways of doing all we could to secure America was to create an agency, not out of whole cloth, but basically to reweave together people from about 20 disparate agencies, all had some responsibilities around the border, and pull them into the Department of Homeland Security. And then on top of all those traditional responsibilities that the Coast Guard had and Immigration had and Customs had, on top of everything else they were doing, they would have become also part of the Homeland Security mission. So it was a very thoughtful process, very intense. Took, I think, less than a month to 6 weeks when we vetted all the possible combinations of bureaus and agencies that we thought that could be and should be part of Homeland Security. Some consideration of the FBI, no, it didn't belong. Some consideration of the air traffic controllers, no, it didn't belong. So again, it was a very intense and thoughtful process, but that's how we came to the conclusion that those organizations and those people, most of them were already employed by the federal government, should become part of the Department of Homeland Security.
That behind-the-scenes look is a little bit different than the public perception, which was that this was a Frankenstein agency kind of stitched together out of whatever elements the administration and Congress decided should go together kind of on short notice. Talk about the strategic decisions and the planning that went into that, the consultation with the Hill, and the consultation with the agencies about getting them on board to be willing to at least go along with the idea of being folded into this new agency.
Well, it's a very perceptive question because there were many conversations, many constituencies. Some welcomed them, some welcomed the notion, some did not. The first part of the work was done by a handful of people in the White House meeting on a daily basis in the downstairs in the bosom of the White House and literally storyboarding it. I remember the board and the list of agencies. We talked about people. We talked about culture. We talked about roles. We talked responsibilities and how it would all fit in. From that, the next constituency that had to be advised was the cabinet, because a lot of them, who frankly several months before had resisted my effort internally to create almost a mini agency by moving some of the dollars around and consolidating some responsibilities. When I said we ought to try to do it, most of the cabinet said, no, we just need better communication and coordination. Of course, when the president said this is something we wanted to do, everybody suddenly thought it was a pretty good idea, at least publicly. The next constituency would, we almost simultaneously, you got to talk to Congress, but also the bureaus and the agency heads. A lot of them had relationships with the Hill and frankly and privately fought to remain independent. But by and large, Congress, with strong bipartisan support, really embraced and bought into the entire picture. This is something that they felt needed to be done. Some disagreement about FEMA, and frankly, the one agency they didn't want to be there from the start was FEMA. That was the only one that I think publicly resisted in a very aggressive way. But at the end of the day, I think that decision to include them was the correct one. So, again, start with the group inside, talk to the cabinet, and simultaneously talk to the agency chiefs and on the Hill. And because we had great bipartisan support, it didn't pass the first time. The second time around, it got overwhelming support in both chambers from both parties.
So the agency is now official. The president asked you to become the secretary, the first secretary of Homeland Security. You agree. You go in there and do it. At what level at that point, your first month, 6 months, year on the job, are you able to start to get granular and able to start to get strategic and think about things like, how are we going to make sure that these 20-some organizations are coordinated somewhat on acquisition or are coordinated somewhat on management or that kind of thing? Or was it happening so quickly that those were things that had to kind of become secondary just to the idea of making sure that people didn't fly airplanes into buildings again?
There were two real challenges going in. I was sworn in January of 03, and the doors opened on March 1st of 03. Had this aggregation of all this capability and people been done in the private sector, we'd have probably had a year to plan it. With all the regulatory approvals at the federal and state level. So we had less than 45 days, first challenge. Second challenge is a couple of days before we opened the department doors, the National Security Council sent us over some documents, and we had a private conversation with some of their key people that alerted us in a couple of weeks we were probably going to go into Iraq, and we had to be thinking as we opened the door, what are we going to do in the very short period of time to make us a little bit more secure against potential a flowback if they have sympathizers and terrorists already embedded in the United States and we go in, we need to be prepared for terrorist activity in response to our going to Iraq. Thirdly, it was complicated by the fact that we still didn't have a lot of people. I mean, we still had strategic positions to fill, and frankly, at the end of the day, some of the departments will go unnamed, didn't send us over the key personnel that we thought that came along with the responsibility. They sent us the equivalent of the FTEs. We'll send you the money. You find somebody else to fill it, those spaces. And so, in spite of all that, within 6 months, under the great support and leadership of, first we had, Gordon England, who was my deputy. He moved on, and then Jim, it went back to Department of Defense because Secretary Rumsfeld wanted him to come back. We took the work that he had done, and then really a lot of the heavy lifting was done by Admiral Jim Loy, my deputy, who began to oversee a lot of the business reform, the IT, procurement, budget, human resources, and the like. It's a process that's still going on today, by the way, and it'll still take years.
Governor, that's exactly where I wanted to pivot next, and I appreciate your thoughts about standing the department up originally. I'd like to focus the rest of the time that we have on your vision of DHS at the time and compare that to what you see now. Overall, is the agency evolving and growing and developing in the way that you hoped when you laid the groundwork for it?
From the policy side, since they really are responsible for not only making recommendations, but really executing a strategy or a game plan that's vetted by the executive branch, the president, the vice, and the Congress, I think they've done a really good job. I mean, it continues to be a work in progress. But I think along the way, there have been added complications. One, Congress has not condensed its oversight, so there's still a lot of time up on the Hill, and we really don't have a strategic partner up there. I think the last time I saw, there was 100 committees and subcommittees, and that is, it's not good. If you really want to have, it'd be much better if we had a small group of people on the Hill who had broad area knowledge and expertise of Homeland Security, which means a lot of the members have to give up the jurisdiction and committee assignments, and a lot of them don't want to do that. We still haven't, and this is not DHS's responsibility. Congress still has not provided the communication system that the 9/11 Commission endorsed. Congress still hasn't funded the exit system. Remember that two of the hijackers overstayed their visa. We built a biometrically controlled entry system. People coming in give us their photographs, digital, fingerprints digital. We still don't know everybody that's come in since 04, how many of them remain and how many got on a plane and went home. So there still is work to be done. The single greatest challenge, and this is what most people don't appreciate, is that Homeland Security does not really generate intelligence. It is a consumer of intelligence. And unless and until all of the federal agencies are willing and prepared to share in a timely way information with the secretary and his or her team under whatever administration it might be, we'll never be able to, as effectively as we want, involve the state and locals in the private sector. A lot of progress has been made, some gaps, some loopholes. That's the responsibility of this secretary and future secretaries to continue to reduce them.
What has been the biggest hurdle, in your view, to that change from need to know to need to share in information sharing?
I'm glad you categorized that, because that's exactly how we categorize it. Homeland Security may be a federal department. It is a national mission. And if you want to get everybody engaged, particularly those who can act on reliable information, you need to have the state and the locals and occasionally the private sector know. And I think it's an institutional problem. I think there's an inertia. Some of them still operate from a Cold War point of view. You'll need to know, and I'm going to tell you right now, you're probably never going to need to know. So I think there's been significant progress, but I think, I think Detroit could have been prevented if State Department would have pulled the visa of that individual after the father said he's probably been radicalized and he's in Yemen.
Mm-hmm.
He'd have never gotten on the plane. But you can't keep him off the plane if the State Department doesn't tell Homeland Security. And I think I've always felt that the tragedy at Fort Hood, in spite of what some people say, could have been prevented had some of the agencies who knew that this active duty soldier was emailing a radical imam in Yemen, and they didn't do anything about it. So information sharing is still probably the biggest obstacle to managing the risk as effectively as we can and should.
How much of that, though, is cultural and attitude, in that we have this information, we don't want to share it, as opposed to you should be sharing that with people? And how much of it, though, is just interoperational infrastructure that's not mature yet?
I think the technology is there to share it. I'm just not sure the will is there. I mean, there's still a mindset. There's still an inertia. There's still that Cold War mentality. And look, you're trying to change the FBI from primarily focused on law enforcement, and we'll get the bad guys more often than not after you commit the crime, to let's get the terrorists before they act. And if you don't hit the send button before the incidents occurs, then you fall back on what you've done historically, and that's you investigate the incident after it happens. And so I think a lot of it's simply the difficulty associated with a cultural shift, an institutional change in thinking.
I've seen you speak on a number of news outlets about your vision for Homeland Security in the future, but talk about some of the items on your wish list or your goal list for the agency within the next year to 5 years that you believe are very achievable for the agency.
And thank you for the question. I just think there are some gaps, and it's gonna, there'll be changes in policy, I'm sure. But if you look at the infrastructure, here's the infrastructure I think we could build in the next several years. You need the D block for broadband public safety, for a broadband public safety network, so they can stream voice and video and data. The technology's there. You need the political will to get it done. Congress ought to do it. I think the Coast Guard is woefully and grossly underfunded, exceptionally dedicated and talented, and leaders all over the place. If admirals or generals in any other branch of the service had to put up with the paucity of resources and the strain on their budgets like the Coast Guard in inferior facilities, they'd march en masse to the Hill. Coast Guard just does whatever they need to do with the duct tape or whatever they need to put things together.
Yeah.
That we need to fund the Coast Guard more aggressively. We need to finish the exit system. As I mentioned previously, in many occasions, we now monitor people coming in, but we haven't checked them if they've left. That was very much a part of the enabling legislation that created the department. I think, I think we've made progress. I don't think we're as anxious as we used to be. I think we've demonstrated as a country we're undeniably resilient. But as you look at Homeland Security again, I think Congress needs to be more aggressive in its oversight. I think the department needs to do a better job of testing before it that buys into billion-dollar technology that's unproven. Look what they did down in the southern border, that SBI net. Mm-hmm. Failed miserably. And again, you live and you learn, but you wish the education wasn't as expensive as it's proven to be from time to time. And then you hope to continue to make progress with regard to information sharing.
The big kahuna question, I guess, are we as a nation dramatically safer considering the investment we've made in DHS now than we were at 9/11?
The answer is, in my mind, unequivocally yes. And it's not just because of what the men and women at the Department of Homeland Security do, but as you well know and you've commented upon and reported on, that multiple agencies, hundreds of thousands of people. I mean, Bin Laden, the ability to identify and to kill Bin Laden was a result of multiple years, thousands and thousands of people, and dozens of agencies. So they are coordinating. There has been progress. But I believe we'll just continue along that path. I remember my friend Sean O'Keefe called me. He was heading up NASA at the time. And when I was at President Bush announced I would be his nominee for secretary. Remember, NASA is a critically important agency. As an editorial comment, I can't believe we're not going into space, but that's another story. We're pulling back on that. But he said it's a smaller agency, but it had been an accumulation, an aggregation of different federal agencies. He said, Tom, here decades later, I still see vestiges of old ways of doing things and old cultures. So it takes a long time to break it down, but I think the men and women at Homeland Security have done a pretty remarkable job, particularly in those first couple of years where they didn't have the resources. It took forever to get the key people approved and put in the position to not only integrate the operations of the department, but also simultaneously implement policies that the President and Congress wanted us to execute upon in order to make America more secure.